This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I got to switch headphones. I cannot hear Jack out of this. Give me a sec. Oh, that is so much better. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, Jake, let's go through. You and I are big college football junkies, nerds, whatever you want to call it. So let's talk about some of the other college football games. Let's give some analysis and prediction. Here's the one I want to start with. All right. You know what? I'm going to put it at the end. Texas, Ohio State. We're going to come back to that. LSU, Clemson. What are your thoughts here, Jake?
Yeah, that's an exciting one. The battle for Death Valley. We'll have to wait and see here. Lots of fun. LSU has struggled with these opening games. Now they play some pretty good teams right out of the gate, but I think they've lost like something like five straight season openers. So that doesn't make me feel all that good about LSU coming out and getting the win. That makes me feel obviously, that Clemson's probably got a better shot at this, but you know, you kind of go back to the SEC versus the ACC. Clemson obviously at the top of that, the SEC's got more depth, you know, so LSU maybe not, the prime example, the powerhouse there. But it's going to be fun. These teams have not, when I say the battle for Death Valley, that's a big part of it. They're not, that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So there's been some talk going into this game, a lot of bravado. I mean, both these teams are loaded as far as you kind of look at that, you know, the talent, the composite team talent rankings. So, I mean, it's a top 10 matchup for a reason. Going to be tough to come down to it, but those opening season losses for LSU might have me sliding with the Clemson Tigers here.
So you're talking about the team talent composite rankings. I'm sitting here looking at them right now. Number 6 in the country, LSU. Number 7, Clemson. So very evenly matched, two very talented teams. Yeah, LSU has lost 5 season opening games in a row. I mean, not a bunch of gimmies. Last year was USC. Florida State. Then before that was Florida State, albeit unranked Seminoles. And then you got UCLA the year before and Mississippi State the year before that. But Clemson last year was 0-3 versus the SEC. So something's got to give here. All right. Now, Clemson still won the ACC championship, made the college football playoff, as we know. The biggest strength of Clemson's team may be their defensive line. They have easily one of the top 5, 4, 3, 2 defensive lines in the entire country. A lot of people think they may have the best offense, overall offense in the entire country coming in. A lot of preseason publications have them number 1, some 2, some 3, some 5. They're always in the top 5. You got 2 Heisman Trophy candidates. Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, the 2 quarterbacks are 2 guys who very well could be in New York at the end of the season. If Nussmeier can limit some of his interceptions that he had a year ago, get a little bit more help from his defense. His defense was better last year, not great. All right, Cade Klubnik has kind of come into his own. Nationally, a lot of people have him as potentially the best quarterback in the country. Drew Aller is up in that conversation as well. So is Nussmeier. I think LSU's biggest weakness, first of all, the Tigers are going to win. Just so you know, Jake, the Tigers are going to win this game. Put money
prediction.
On it. 100% guaranteed the Tigers will win. There are some people who immediately thought, oh, Clemson. Some people immediately thought LSU. Very few people, there was probably a few people who were like, oh, bad joke, Adam. I do apologize, but LSU's biggest weakness or question mark coming into the season, because we don't really know weaknesses yet, we know question marks, is their offensive line. And I just said the strongest unit Clemson had is their defensive line. That, to me, is the difference in the game. LSU, this is the best compiled roster they've had in 5 years. This is a team I have in the CFP, the College Football Playoff. I also have Clemson making the national championship of the College Football Playoff. It doesn't mean it's going to work out this way. I'm going to take Clemson in this particular game. All right. Next up, let's discuss Florida State and Alabama. Florida State, is it still 13.5 points? They're an underdog here?
Let me double check. But yeah, that's where it was. About where it was last time I saw.
All right. While you're checking, both Florida State, Alabama, unlike Clemson and LSU, they're starting brand new quarterbacks. Florida State, new offensive coordinator, Gus Malzahn, new defensive coordinator, our good buddy, Tony White, putting in the 3-3-5 down there. Florida State's never ran that before, but obviously we know he's a good coordinator. He has some frustrations throughout camp with some of his players. Hopefully, if you're a Florida State fan, that's kind of been remedied a little bit. When it comes to Florida State, when it comes to LSU, again, 2 of the most talented rosters in the country. All right, as I look at this, Let me find it here. Not LSU, Alabama. As I said the other day, Alabama has the number one team talent composite ranking in the entire country. Florida State drops to 19. I can't help but wonder if that's based off returning production for one team versus the other versus actual talent. The thing Alabama has this year, because they were number one in talent composite ranking a year ago, I never said they had the best roster. I said it was Ohio State. Because when you factor in returning experience, cohesiveness, guys who are proven, Alabama didn't have that, especially in their secondary. They're starting a bunch of freshmen last year. They've got it now this year. Florida State has a bunch of talent. And instead of going for guys out of the portal, they brought in a bunch of portal guys again this year. They just live and die by that portal. Instead of bringing in a bunch of guys who were maybe didn't quite play at Georgia, didn't quite play at these other schools, but had a really high ceiling, were 4- and 5-star guys out of high school, weren't quite as proven. That worked 1 year, and the bottom fell out year two. Florida State's team quit last year on Mike Norvell. They just quit. They were way more talented than the production they put on the field. Norvell has switched how he brings in transfer portal guys. It's now more proven production versus top-end potential ceiling guys who also have a lower floor. It's more proven production. I'm going to take Alabama in this one because Alabama didn't have hardly anybody leave as far as transfer portal guys. They were very young. Most of these guys are back. Kalen DeBoer is back. Kalen DeBoer is a very underrated coach.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You follow Nick Saban. Anything less than a national title is a failure in Bama's eyes, and I get that. He's still a really good coach. You look at Florida State, Mike Norvell's a good coach. I don't know that he's proven he's absolutely the guy, and then you got two brand-new coordinators. As good as Malzahn and White are, they're still brand-new. There's too much brand-new for Florida State. I'm going to take Alabama, and it's funny. Is it still 13.5?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Alabama to cover because I legit have the score 35-21. So 14 points technically covers. What say you, Jake?
I remember. Just a reminder, this is at Doak Campbell Stadium. A lot of these are, even sites. This is at for Florida State, similar to the Clemson and LSU. No shortage of trash talk coming into this game, so it's going to be fun. 2:30 kickoff there on Saturday. I think Alabama bounces back in a big way in Kalen DeBoer. I just big believer in the guy. What he did at Washington was spectacular. You know, kind of have to mold things, like you said. Not going to be quite. Nick Saban right out of the gate, usually year one, not going to go as well as, year three as what we're hoping here with Matt Rhule, right? This is year two for DeBoer there. But I think they get right back in the national title contention. Florida State, it's a long, long ask, to go from 2-10 to go up there and defeat Alabama. So I like the spread where it is. I'd probably say that they cover two. I think it'll be interesting and it'll be fun for about 2.5 quarters, though, when we're all kind of thinking maybe they could do it. We'll see. Thomas Castellanos is going to have to back up what he's been saying. We're going to see James Williams out there. Of course, a lot of Husker connections on that staff, even John Papuchis to go back even further. Yep. So I might even cheer for Florida State. I think Alabama's going to win.
I forgot about James Williams. I'm curious to see how he does down there. All right. Coach Knighton's down there as well. So a lot of points, good points there. I feel like this is a big game for Florida State to earn some respect. This is a big game for Kalen DeBoer. Bama fans are going to start getting impatient with him if he loses a game like this. Florida State fans, if you're Florida State, you might, moral victory induced here, walk away if you lose 24-23 on a last second field goal, be like, all right, we're better. But if you're Alabama, if you don't win, Kalen DeBoer might start feeling some heat, which is crazy because he's one of the best coaches in America. All right, Notre Dame, Miami. Notre Dame was top 5 in the country when it came to runs of 30-plus yards a season ago. Two of the best running backs in the entire country. When it comes to the offensive line at Notre Dame, thank you for Rocco Spindler. But last year, that was the strength of their team, was their run game, their offensive line. And they had injuries, man. They had injury after injury after injury. They had to trot freshmen out there at times, and they just kept mauling people. They are a physical team. You want to talk about a team with an actual culture. I don't know if there's many teams around the country you can look at and say there's an actual culture there just because there's so much turnover in college football right now. There's less turnover at Notre Dame. If you're going to go to Notre Dame with the academic and some of the other factors that go into playing for the Irish, you're going to be much less likely to leave. So that helps Marcus Freeman when it comes to building a culture. This is a team I expect to make less self-imposed game one ugly mistakes. This is a team I trust to be physical. I will say this. They faced three top 10 teams last year. And as good as their run game was, they barely averaged over 3 yards per rush against those teams. So they will need to throw the ball. Miami, they were a college football playoff team last year with an FCS defense. If they can play defense at all, and their secondary was awful, they got all new secondary starters, all four of them, brand new. And the reports out of there this offseason is their secondary is going to be one of the strengths of their team. Well, we'll see what actually happens. I want to see what happens on the field. What if Notre Dame can't run the ball effectively? Miami has three of their top five pass rushers back. They got a revamped defense, a new defensive coordinator. They expect their secondary to be a strength. What if Miami has or Notre Dame has to throw and that secondary gets tested? If you go to the other side of the ball, I think Miami may have the edge when it comes along the trenches of the O-line they have versus the D-line. I think this game is going to be won and lost in the trenches. Carson Beck, Georgia transfer, going to go to the NFL, then goes to Miami for $4 million a year. How's the elbow? There's a difference between being cleared and feeling good. Hopefully he's feeling good. They have to replace their top six pass catchers from a year ago. If Miami can run the ball, they got a shot. If they can't, I don't know. They're probably more talented, more athletic. I trust more things about Notre Dame, a team that just played for the national title. I'm going to take the Irish in a close one. What do you got, Jake?
Well, we talked about LSU earlier and using their pass against them in early season games. Notre Dame, remember, lost last year to Northern Illinois in September. So hopefully Marcus Freeman's got him going. And that's where I really feel comfortable is, you know, Marcus Freeman, one of the up-and-coming coaches in college football, in football in general, feeling a better place about him than where Mario Cristobal is now. Still doing well at Miami, right? But that game a couple years ago where he cost him the game by not kneeling, it still sticks with me. Remember, C.J. Carr, starting here for Notre Dame, grandson of Lloyd Carr. Kind of an interesting dynamic there. Lloyd Carr, of course, the Michigan coach, longtime Michigan coach, claims he's got a national title or something. I can't remember. But in any case, you know what I love. I love run game. I love defense. Notre Dame's program is all about that. Miami, they might have some optimism offseason. They were in a lot of shootouts last year.
They were.
So I'm going to go ahead and pick Notre Dame here, though it is at Miami again. So that could give you a few points there, maybe if people show up. Tough to tell with Miami's home crowd. But for the Notre Dame game, I think they would.
Take that, Hurricane fans.
That's right, if you're out there.
You make a great point. I definitely trust Marcus Freeman more than I trust Mario Cristobal on game day. As far as acquiring talent, Mario Cristobal's top notch. Game day decisions, take the knee, man. Win the game. I trust Marcus Freeman as well. So we're going to go to break. Is there anything off the text line real quick?
We got some stuff here on YouTube.
Let's discuss that when we come back. Also, Texas, Ohio State. Is there another major game that I'm missing? I saved that one for the end.
That's the biggest one.
Okay. We're going to discuss that when we come back after break. And apparently there's a couple things off the text line. Excuse me as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year. For $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.